Good morning again. The 18 plus after party is 18 years of age and over that are having an appropriate after party. That's not a, never mind. Oh, so good to be with everybody. My mom texted me while I was waiting for announcements. She said, I'm on online church this morning too. So mom, love you so much. Glad you're a part of our service today. And yeah, go ahead and give it up for my mom. Watching today, celebrating family and new family starting. Valeria and Sam, are you in the room back there? Did you just stand up? Sam proposed marriage and Valeria said yes. We wish you every blessing. This young man came to see me and talk with his pastor about his just his thoughts. He talked to Valeria's mom, and then he came in to see his pastor and say, Pastor, what do you think about this? And we prayed together, and it was just an amazing, amazing time. I just love how our young people are honoring God and with the ordinance of marriage. It's God's idea, as Christina was talking about, and honoring God first in our relationships, and that's a great foundation to build marriage on. So good. I'd like to read from a child's book this morning because I want to talk to you about the way of Thanksgiving. And this book, I got a hold of it, and I just thought it was amazing. I love reading to my kids when they were little, and I super love reading to my grandkids. And if you'll let me be Papa today, just imagine we're all snuggled up on the couch, and Papa wants to read a story of today. Here we go. I think the illustrations will be behind me. On a fine, frosty day in a small town of Kent, there awoke a young boy who was never content. This is boring, he'd say, as if nothing was good. In his heart, he would never thank God as he should. If you weighed out his attitude, pail after pail, you'd have tons of ingratitude and need a new scale. When he talked, he was cross from the first light of day. Words like, thanks, that's great, you would never hear him say. The sun's up, shining, a great day, went the shout. It's too bright, I don't see what the fuss is all about. Can't you see? It's so good. Look, just open your eyes. This day, like all days, you'll find packed with surprise. Then Dad cooked a late breakfast, and oh, what a spread. Stacks of bacon and pancakes as high as your head. Let's be thankful, said Dad. Then he prayed for their brunch. Although what the boy craved was some choco bomb crunch. Aren't you hungry? Mom asked. You're not touching your food. Looks too meaty, too bready, already chewed. Well, eat up. You'll need it. We've got a big day. First the zoo with some friends, then the park where we'll all play. But I don't want to go to the silly old zoo. The park is so boring. What else could we do? The zoo, they saw lions who stretched while they yawned. Then three lazy brown bears swatting flies by a pond. After this were the snakes. He wasn't impressed. They were curled up in cages, just getting some rest. Then he saw a red woodpecker pecking on wood. So he pointed and shouted as loud as he could. Oh, wow, look, it's some bird making holes in a tree. This whole zoo is as boring can be. The boy whined at the birds, and then he sighed at the shark, and he fussed and he groaned all the way to Kent Park. I just want to go home. There's nothing to see. This whole drive is as boring can be. The park, the kids yelled as they ran out to play. But the boy took his time. He had nothing to say. The three boys were like brothers competing to win. And the girls were both tall, climbing trees in the wind. He just watched as they jumped between black and white rocks. Then he plopped down and picked fuzzy lint from his socks. I don't see what's so fun, he said, drumming his knee. The whole park is as boring can be. All these kids are so weird, thought the boy, feeling grumpy. Too silly, too speedy, too loud, too frumpy. They had fun, minus one, till the sun headed down. Then they got in their cars, sipping home across town. The boy moped through his meal, and while watching TV, the whole day's been as boring could be. Well, good night. Let's thank God who created all things. Lord, we're thankful each day for whatever it brings. We all have blessings from you. We enjoy what you've made. We can see your own goodness through all things displayed. After saying amen, he was ready for bed. But that prayer kept rolling around in his head. The boy tossed and he turned in and out of a dream. And whatever he saw there was not as it seemed. It replayed all the day, but not quite like before. It was sort of and like it, but was something more. Now, wherever he looked, he was met with surprise. The true source of all things he could see with his eyes. Whether bacon or plates, God had made all of these, giving wheat for the pancakes and syrup for trees. Oh, wow, look, God invented the pancakes and bacon. I can see they are from him if my eyes aren't mistaken. Now, the cobras and pythons weren't wasting their day, but God had made them cold-blooded to need the sun's rays. Now, the roar of a lion or a swipe of a paw put a gulp in his throat and his heart filled with awe. And the woodpeckers, well, the boy had never heard how it captured its food, the most marvelous bird. The stiff feathers that make up its tail are a brace. When it pecks, the bird's feathers hold it in place. And God gave to each one a thin 4-inch long tongue to reach deep buried bugs where it feeds its young. Oh, wow, look, thought the boy, all creation amazes. Every one of these beasts is a cause to sing praises. And then he saw in his dream all the kids at the park. But now it was clear, like bright light in the dark. All the games came from God. He knew how to have fun. And the Lord loved each kid, not just those who had won. In his image, the Lord made each girl and each boy. He had made them unique, and each brought him great joy. He made fast ones and slow. He made short ones and tall. Whether lighter or darker, he treasures them all. Oh, look, said the boy, the Lord helped me to see that no person is boring, and that includes me. The next day there awoke in the small town of Kent a young boy who had learned what real thankfulness meant. He had learned that the Lord made all things very good. In his heart, he began to thank God, as he should. The sun's up and shining, great day, went the shout. But this time, he had seen what the fuss was about. I was wrong, said the boy. I've been grumpy and bad, but Christ died to forgive me, and that makes me glad. You're forgiven, our son, and today's a new start. We should ask God to help us give thanks from the heart. Father, thank you for the sky, pecking birds and all trees. We are thankful for sunshine and honey and bees. We say thank you for family and warm, loving hugs. We give thanks for our homes and hot chocolate-filled mugs. And we thank you for church where we learn and we sing about Jesus, your son, and the joy that he brings. You made everything good. Now, please, open our eyes. So today and all days we'll find packed with surprise. When you finish this book, stop. Give thanks to the Lord for the world he has made. There's no cause to be bored. The whole world's like a window through which you can see a creator who's glorious as can be. And I always say, and that's the end of the story. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that today would be a day that we'll be reminded Or for some of us, our eyes will be open to the truth that when we discover you as our source, life is not boring at all. But we begin to discover on the pathway, the way of thanksgiving is the way of having an intimate, personal, and amazing relationship with you filled with life and joy. Let that be the case for everyone online today and here in the room. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Thanks for sitting on the couch with me. Gratitude's actually not a default that we are born with. And that's why we have to teach our kids to say thank you. What do you say? What do you say? And they look, sometimes puzzled, and they kind of know that you've taught thank you with a question mark on it because they're not sure. And then some kids kind of get it, and they just know that when they receive something, kind of that knee-jerk response, that proper response to be polite would be to say thank you. And I want to talk about this way of thanksgiving. Living in gratitude is really something that begins in the heart, and it's really an attitude of gratitude, because our default attitude is more like criticism. We critique. Some of you have the gift of critiquing. You'll look and see five things wrong before you begin the list of five things right or one thing right. And it's because we're tending to focus on what's wrong instead of focusing on what is right. Gratitude is an attitude. Gratitude is a choice. Gratitude is an act of worship, acknowledging God in every aspect of our lives. And I promise I won't put the metric in the rest of the sermon. Actually, the author did a great job with that. Gratitude is an act of worship. It's an attitude that we choose when we understand our posture in Christ, that we live as worshipers. We live as those who are thankful for the eternal life that God has given us. And when God is your source, gratitude becomes a response that becomes a natural part of your new life in Christ. And what we want to be careful of today is when we become a Christ follower, we're not just adding new things. The Bible says that all things have become new. Say new. So we want the old to die. We want the new in Christ to come. And as we understand that God is our source, then we begin to understand the way of thanksgiving is a pathway of this amazing life that we live with Jesus. That's not to say that there aren't things that go wrong, but we understand our proper response. And Thessalonians tells us in everything, say everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So a lot of people will say, well, what's God's will? To give thanks. What is God's will? To give thanks. And we are to thank him when things are going good. That's God's will. And we are to thank him when things are going terrible. That's God's will. We're not thanking him for the problem, but we're staying thankful in the problem. And when we're going through trial and tribulation and we have the pathway of thanksgiving, the way of thanksgiving, gratitude out of our heart, and we're thankful in the problem, you actually begin to see the problems of life differently. And I'm not talking about some cheesy, superficial positivity, mind over matter. I'm talking about from our heart, that place of our new birth, in response to the Lord, that I know he's got this, he's got me. I'm going to stay thankful in the problem. I want to read a passage that kind of says so much about how we are kind of this idea that ingratitude's more our default. And as Christ followers, we're learning the pathway of thanksgiving. And there are 10 lepers who are in a leper colony that call out to Jesus. Leprosy was a horrible disease. We don't hear much of it today because of modern medicine. But in this day, a flesh-eating disease that literally, like your digits could fall, your toes could fall off. If it was severe, appendages. And it was a life of misery, of loneliness, and you were quarantined because it was contagious. And when we read about leprosy in the Bible, often it's a picture of us in our sin, separated from God. And then the miracle of when we come to Jesus and we're healed. And I think that's part of the story that Jesus is telling. This isn't a parable. This is an actual healing of 10 lepers. And it goes like this. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then he entered a certain village, and there he was met by 10 men who were lepers. They stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." It's interesting because what Jesus was telling them was that they were healed, even though they still contained leprosy in their body. And I'll unpack this sometime. This is a great principle for healing. Sometimes healing doesn't happen instantaneously, but when we receive the provision, past tense, for healing, it was provided on the cross. They were looking forward to healing. When we have faith for that, we can say we're already healed and then walk that healing out. And that principle's here in this scripture. But this, I want to look at not the healing principle, but their response. So Jesus says to them, "Go show yourself to the priest," which if you were healed of leprosy, which was like never, they had no cure for it. And without Jesus, there wasn't going to be healing. So if you went to the priest, you had to be clean. You could have no leprosy on your body. The priest would check you over, and then he would declare you clean, and you could return to societal living. So Jesus says to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." In other words, you are healed. And it said, and so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They walked out their healing literally. As they were getting closer to the priest, I don't know how it all went, but I imagine the leprosy was disappearing, and their walk got faster and faster. They were more and more excited. They couldn't wait to get to the priest and show them that they could return to societal living. They could return to a life not of quarantine and of loneliness and misery, but a life of joy and a new life. And they couldn't wait to go check it out with the priest. But it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned around and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his face, Jesus's face, at his feet. He put his face down on the ground at his feet, giving him, what? Giving him, and it just adds, he's a Samaritan. Now, the other 9 were Jews. They should have known better and understood who Jesus was, that he was Messiah. He was the promised one sent by God, that this was Emmanuel, God with us, that gave them this amazing gift to set them free. But a Samaritan, a foreigner, someone who's actually hated by the Jews, he understood what he was given, and he runs back to Jesus before anything's confirmed, goes back to the one who gave him the healing, falls at his feet, and worships him. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? The guy who chose the way of thanksgiving? The one who understood gratitude, that Jesus was the source, and he went back to the source? And he said to him, Jesus answering, arise and go your way. Continue your life on the way of thanksgiving. Your faith has made you well. I want to just pause there for a second because his faith had already healed him. He went with the others in faith. It was healing. It's such a powerful act of faith. But the others got what they asked for, but didn't go back to the source. They got their answer to prayer. They got their problem fixed. They got in the entirety of the idea of leprosy being saved, that many of us receive salvation not connecting that life is now brand new because Jesus is my source. It's not add Jesus to my life. It's I have a brand new life in Jesus. There is something he has given me that this mind and brain can't even comprehend. But if I will remain at the feet, at the source of my eternal life, I will understand the way of thanksgiving, and my life will begin reflecting that because I've been given this attitude of gratitude because I don't earn it and I don't deserve it, but I've received it and that man got that. And so when Jesus said, your faith to come back, your attitude of gratitude has made you well. And Jesus has that statement three times in Luke. And this word in the Greek, a sozo, and it's deliverance, it's healing, it's provision, it's blessing, it's all things pertaining to God, life and godliness that Jesus gave us. And he's got the whole, Jesus said, you got something that the other nine didn't get. And so as Christ followers today, we need to decide, do we go back to the source and understand this and really receive of the abundant life? Many are not receiving the abundant life that Jesus talked about. Because we get what we want from him, but don't go to the source and stay at his feet. 90% of them had ingratitude. They didn't come back. 90%. That speaks to us of our default mechanism. We have to fight against ingratitude. I want to help you with that today. And so let's break ingratitude and really understand what does it mean to have Jesus as our source and receive all that he has. In Romans, Paul's teaching about our salvation. Our life is from God. We didn't earn it. As I said, we don't deserve it. How could anybody deserve eternal life? We can't. It was given to us as a gift of God. When people work, he said in Romans 4, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. And what he's saying is when you go to work and your boss gives you your paycheck, you may be thankful for a job and thankful, but most people don't go to their boss, go into the office, wow! Thank you so much for my paycheck this week. And the reason we don't is because we earned it. We earned it. For those of you in freedom, put your hands together and thank our freedom leaders right now. If you're in freedom, come on, if you're enjoying that, what a great, great small group curriculum that is. And we're learning about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And so we understand that we default to earning. We default that I earned something. This is owed me. God saved you by his grace when you believed. So it's not wages. You did not work for it. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done. None of us can boast about it. Before Christ, we lived in this life, and it was a life that I work hard at this life. If you want to get ahead and be the big dog, you got to eat the little dog. It's dog eat dog. If you want to get the prize in the rat race, you got to be the fastest rat. You earn everything. Everything is owed to me. I'm entitled to it. And if we're honest, that is our default. That's what we see in our children. So we're teaching them to say thank. They're like, why say thank you? Just a couple of weeks, little kids will be coming to my door. We'll put candy in their bag. And their parents will go, what do you say? In their head, they're like, why would I say thank you? It's Halloween. My bag's open. They're supposed to put candy in there. Yes or no? I've earned this. I walked the whole neighborhood for those two pieces. Again, you cheapskate, you don't get full-size chocolate bars here? Default, because I've earned it. It's owed to me. I'm entitled. And so when life, you get what you want, woohoo, I earned it. It's great. Look at that. There's the dividends. But what about when life doesn't go right? We become grumpy and critical. And all we see is the bad, and you can't even see good even if good was there. This morning's a reminder that we need an awakening like the boy in Kent, that something was awakened in him, that he saw life different when he knew who his source was. And it's Jesus. And that 90% of all of us, that 90% that feels entitled. Christine and I, We split up the chores in the house, and it really works well. And one of the things is I prepare dinner, and it's ready when she comes home. Literally, as she comes through the door, I time it so that she can walk right in, sit down at the table, and we eat. And she'll say, I'm starved, and I can't wait to serve, and we have some moments. And then she does clean up. And she won't even let me in the kitchen, near the kitchen. I can sit on a stool, and sometimes we debrief the day while she's cleaning up. I do a lot of the outdoor chores. She does a lot of the indoor chores. And so I don't know, probably in the last couple of years, I've wanted to break entitlement because I realized that if one of us needed some me time, so you would the way you would justify me time in a relationship is, I checked all of my honey-do lists. I've done everything you've asked me to do. Now I want some me time because I am entitled to that. Yeah? The men are really quiet because they're like, this is a trick question, isn't it? This is part of the, this is where you put the marriage stuff in, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I'm not saying anything. And so when she would clean up in the kitchen most evenings, I will say, honey, thank you for cleaning up. And the first time she kind of looked puzzled and she said to me, why are you thanking me? You made dinner. And I said, yeah, but I don't ever want to take for granted that, you know, that this, I didn't earn the cleanup. You're cleaning up. This is just our agreement. I didn't earn the cleanup. You gave me the cleanup. I gave you dinner. And so to break entitlement, and most of us, even with God, even when we pray, we pray like the lepers did, but there's a sense in which we're entitled, you owe me this, and that will always interfere with gratitude. Instead of, he's the source. He's the giver of all things. I live in the source. So to stay in God's will and the way of thanksgiving and everything, give thanks is the will of God. Let me just give you a couple quick points. Number one, Jesus is the absolute source of my life. Everything about this life is a gift from him. And remind yourself of that. Constantly soak in that thought. And when they saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and gave thanks. If the worship team could come, we're going to transition here in a moment. My second point is thankfulness is the path to the feet of Jesus. And if you're here this morning, and we talk about this intimacy. We talk about being close to Jesus. And your response to that might be, I realize I missed a verse, sorry. We'll come back to intimacy. If you could go back to my slide, 2 Peter 1:3. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately, the one who invited us to God, which is Jesus. The best invitation we ever received was from Jesus. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been given to us. There is no earning. There is no paycheck. There is no entitlement. We are his children receiving from him. So thankfulness begins to be a response, a proper response to the amazing gift, and then living in the way of thanksgiving. And so my second point is thankfulness will bring, that thankfulness is the path that brings us to the feet of Jesus. And you might be here and saying, I want to connect to Jesus more. I want a more intimate relationship with Jesus. When people talk about this, I just desire that. How do you do that? The way of thanksgiving. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us. You didn't make yourself. You're not in charge of this life. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The way of thanksgiving is the way into a more personal relationship and intimate life with Jesus. My third thought, my final thought this morning, is we just focus and become like the boy from Kent and have an awakening today. Thankfulness opens me up to God's work in my life. Now, oftentimes we're so focused on what's not going right that we don't see what's going well. And if you'll think about it, often, and in my life, this has been the case that often when I get angst in my spirit, I begin seeing the bad because I feel like I'm entitled to something. I didn't get what I was entitled to or what I think I'm owed. Now I get grumpy. Life is boring. Just doesn't have the spark anymore. And I start focus, and all I see is the bad. And you might be here today. You don't know how bad it is in my life. I don't. And honestly, I'm so sorry that you're going through some difficulty. But I promise you there's good in your life. You just haven't looked for it. Or you might even be blinded to it. I've shared the story a number of times, and I share it different ways depending on the application. But my own relationship with my dad, who passed away 21, I think, years ago. And coming up to my 30th birthday, I realized I had some angst, and I had unforgiveness. I just had some stuff that I was blocking me in my life. And one of my complaints was that my dad was kind of a strictly business guy, and so when we were together, we had a 5-acre hobby farm, and he had his own job. He was a farrier, a blacksmith. He worked hard, and then he'd come home, and he would manicure all of the lawn and prune the trees, and there was just a lot of work to do. We had some animals and things, so there was always chores to do, and I can remember times that I would say to him, I love and still love the shooting sports. In fact, yesterday at our family gathering was our third annual family trap shoot, and the trophy came home with yours truly this year, and I was really happy about that. My number one son has taken it the 2 years, and yeah. And so I enjoy that, and I often would say to Dad, hey, if we get our chores done early, I'll work extra hard. Do you think we could take the 22 out to the woods and do some plinking? And he would often just say no. There's too much work to do. That amongst many, many, many things. And honestly, I didn't have a lot of good memories about my childhood with my dad. And so what I just knew that in God, and God was dealing with me, that I needed to go and have a heart-to-heart with him. And I would approach it not with my list of everything he did wrong, but I would want to go in repentance because I just knew my spirit was wrong and I just had to get this right. And so we had an amazing, if you've heard this story, just I shared my heart, and he wasn't a physical man. I don't know that he ever expressed, I love you, but that day I was 30. And we hugged and we embraced and we cried, and he kissed me on the cheek and told me how much he loved me, and it was just a really precious, precious exchange. The amazing thing was that from that moment and the day I stood at his graveside, and I actually was at his deathbed, he died of Lou Gehrig's, and at his deathbed, and he lost his ability to speak, but I whispered in his ear and he could. I said, Dad, I love you so much. I have no regrets. We had 11 really, really great years together. In those 11 years, and to this day, I had hidden memories that were so good. So good. And I cherish those. And I realized that being together with him all the time, because as soon as he came home, even though we were doing chores, I was right there with him. I spent so much time with my dad. And then I realized all the fun times that we did have, he worked hard, but he knew how to play hard. But I blocked all that because of a bad attitude of focusing on what I thought I was entitled to as a kid. Judgments that I had made against my dad, the gavel went down and I just decided, you didn't give me what I need or wanted. You're a bad parent. Focus on there is good in your life. Thankfulness opens me up to the God work in my life. He said, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And what that's saying is, as you go the way of thanksgiving, Jesus is attempting all the time to do a good work in you, but if you've blocked your heart, listen to me now, if you've blocked your heart from the source, if you haven't run back, if you're just working with religiosity and you're getting checked out by the priest, and I feel pretty good about my salvation, the priest said I'm saved, so I guess I'm okay, but you're not spending time in the way of thanksgiving at the feet of Jesus. When you're at the feet of Jesus, you get more than the person who just goes, yeah, I'm saved. I guess I'm doing good. You go on with your life, but nothing changes. But when you go back, Jesus said, you get something the other nine don't get. Go your new way of thankfulness, and you get sozo. You get the complete salvation package, everything that Jesus has supplied. And you start living in that supply. And that supply is available to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just before we transition our service to a dismissal, this is probably the most important part of this service. And that is just after we preach the word, just to have a moment of reflection. And hey, if you're hearing some ingratitude, we all do. The reason I brought Aaron on the platform with me to celebrate family. Okay, this is not scripted, but I'll just open my heart up a little bit because it's getting ready to preach. The Lord just kind of spoke to me during worship and said, you're frustrated because he's not like the other boys. Sometimes you only see what he can't do, and you lose sight of what he can. The stuff I see. Before coming up, I repented, said, Lord, sorry. Yeah, I've been super short with him. Super frustrated. Super experiencing some caretaker fatigue. And you know, those things, you could say those things are all real, but here's the deal. They're sucking way more out of me than Jesus is trying to put in me because I was choosing to live in what I didn't see instead of what I was seeing. So you can do just what I did during worship, just a simple prayer. Lord, I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me? My eyes are open. I see it now. And your prayer might be, my marriage isn't exactly what I was expecting or what I feel. My wife, maybe you feel entitled. My husband, my wife should be a better spouse. No, it's never about the other. It's about what we give. And we can give because Jesus gave to us, and it's an endless supply. And if you're feeling empty today, it might be you're not at the source. The way of thanksgiving is the way to full life in Jesus. And so just this moment, just all across this room online, we're just adjusting our hearts. So wonderful. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. This goodness of message about how great he is. Oh yeah, I can adjust that on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Just before we sing today, if you're here today, you've never invited Jesus into your life, you're just tired of trying to do life on your own. You've done the rat race. You've tried to be big dog. Or maybe today you're just like, man, I'm just little dog, and I've just settled for being everybody's doormat. And man, there's got to be more to life than this. And I promise you, like the boy from Kent, life is not boring. When you have Jesus as your source, when you accept that he forgave you of your sins and he comes into your life and you're born again, oh man, life is that window of possibility each and every day. And if you're here today and you've never acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me today. That you would say yes to Jesus online today. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you can type in, I'm saying yes to Jesus, and our online host will pray with you today. If you're in the room and you're ready to invite the Lord into your heart, very serious, sober moment, and yet most exciting moment, the most important decision a human being can make to receive eternal life. If that's you, I'm going to count down from 3, 3, 2, and 1. When I reach 1, simply raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it. And then we're all going to pray together. We're going to pray with you today. A corporate prayer. You're going to join with us. And Jesus is going to come in your heart. In 3, in 2. This is for you today. In 1. Just raise your hand so I can see it. I want to pray with you today. Is there anyone in the room? Thank you. I see your hand there. Anyone else today? Online, we're trusting that I know someone's responding. Let's, Harvest, we know what to do. If you raised your hands today, would you pray with us right now? Dear Jesus,
thank you
that you love me.
And today, I know I'm a sinner.
My life is boring.
And I'm turning to you
as my Savior.
Forgive my sin.
Cleanse me.
Wash me.
Make me born again.
I receive
forgiveness.
I receive
eternal life.
Today
is my day
of salvation.
I receive it today.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Okay, now you can put your hands together and congratulate those.
Stand to your feet today. Let's worship.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside.
Together as a family. And God, we just declare we're coming back to the source. God, we fix our eyes on you, God. And as we move into the week, as we move into our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, God, we're going to keep coming back to the source. God, we are so grateful. We worship you. We honor you. God, we just thank you for the blessing on families today, God. And I just pray that you bless every person wherever they're heading today, God, would your peace and your presence just go with them in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Harvest, we love you. Have an incredible Thanksgiving weekend. We'll see you next week.